Well, good morning, church. I sure do miss you all. I was thinking through all the aspects that we are missing during these days, and was kind of going through my regular morning routine where I would kind of first off connect with the guys that kind of hang out at the water cooler. I call them the peanut gallery. Guys, you know who you are. And I miss that fellowship and encouragement. I miss walking through the aisles and just talking to people, catching up on the week, and the regular connection throughout the week. You know, these are just new times. And I was thinking that I don't remember a time in my life where I have not gathered with God's people, maybe missing a Sunday here or there, but missing multiple Sundays of that regular fellowship. And I do miss it dearly. I now have a new appreciation for those who go through surgeries and they're out for several weeks, or those who have extended illnesses that are not able to be a part, or shut-ins. And so it is helpful to be able to kind of move on from here with compassion for people. And we just want to say as a pastoral team how much that we care for you and how much we love you. And if you need anything, we want to continue to serve you as best that we are able. We want to continue our path through Hebrews 11. So if you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11, we thought it would be great for us to continue walking through this hall of faith. We have these wonderful examples of folks who went through all kinds of circumstances in their lives, and they really expressed a strong faith in God no matter what was going on. Not perfectly. They all made mistakes. There's only one perfect one, and that's our wonderful Savior Jesus, who we've had opportunity to sing to and about today. But folks who God, in His sovereign purposes and plan, included them in Hebrews 11 for us to look to for encouragement, and they now, as the Scripture tells us, they form that cloud of witnesses that are there for us to look to for help and guidance during these days. The last person we have been focusing on is the man Abraham. And in verse 8, we walked through a number of verses already, and I'd like to just kind of review to kind of remind us where we've been. Verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise." And we have here the first test in Abraham's life. We're all going through testing right now. It looks very different, probably, for us as a church. Some are concerned about their financial futures and the hits that's taking. Some probably have already lost hours of work in the last week, and you're starting to think to yourself that maybe you're going to be let go in your workplace. Others who have experienced physical issues and have kind of regular ongoing physical symptoms and problems, and you're now concerned about whether you would perhaps get this virus. You have others who are going through the same trials and issues that you had before this all started, with relationship problems and problems with children. And so the trials of life, the testings of life, they continue to come. And that's not a new thing. Even though this is a new season for us, it's not new in the fact that God is testing us as He did His children. And we see the first test in Abraham's life when God came to him and called him away from everything that he knew, everything that was familiar, all of his circumstances, his homeland, his extended family. And God said, "I want you to go from that place, and I want you to move to a land that I'm going to give you. And I'm also going to give you an inheritance of a son, and from him you will be blessed, and all the peoples of the world will be blessed as well." And so Abraham, as we studied weeks ago, he passed this test because it simply said in verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed." Abraham obeyed the Lord at the age of 70 to go to a place that he did not know. If you remember his journey, it wasn't just directly there. He had to go to one area and waited 5 years. And then he went to another area of Canaan, and he really never got the land himself because it says that he lived as an alien, as a stranger there. But he passed the test of obedience. He was willing to believe God and take him at his word and make the next right step. I know many of you probably have taken advantage of Disney's kindness, and I don't want to get our theology from Disney, but it struck me when we watched Frozen 2 and it said, do the next right thing. And that's really just a simple biblical truth, that as we have tests that come into our life, we do the next right thing. And Abraham did that. And God did take him to the place that his descendants eventually would find their home, but it cost him something. And he had to walk through this obedience not knowing what was ahead. I've heard so many times over the last week, boy, I just don't know what's going on, what's going to be the future, and that's where we kind of all are. And it's interesting that the whole world is kind of asking that question. And we don't know the answers to that, but we know that we're supposed to keep obeying God. And as he has this test for us during 2020, which we would have never dreamed of, it did not take him by surprise. It's part of his glorious plan, and so we keep obeying. We keep trusting. That was the first test. The second test we looked at in verse 11 was just waiting on God to provide an heir. He was 70 years old when God called him away. And as the years ticked off, there were probably many, many days of questioning and really wondering, what is God doing? When is he going to provide? And we looked at just the fact that sometimes he didn't get it right. He and Sarah made a bad choice with Hagar, and there were times of questioning, even in Sarah's life, when she laughed at the thought that God was going to do this. But ultimately, they kept believing that God would fulfill his promise. Look in verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in the number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. The second test was one of waiting. When, God, are you going to accomplish your purpose? And again, not perfectly, but Abraham continued to obey. He knew the Lord promised, and he knew that God would deliver. And so it takes us then to this third test where I want to focus this morning in verse 17. It says there, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. This is the third major test. No doubt there were many more in Abraham's life, but God included these particular things in this section to help us. And this test was the greatest test of all. It would be the one that would take him clear to the edge of whether God was going to be the one who he would follow no matter the cost. And it would be in this request, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, the son that you have waited. Abraham was 100 years old when God blessed him with Isaac. So he waited for 100 years, and God now comes to him, and the scripture very clearly says that he was tested by the Lord. This was an opportunity for Abraham to really show that he believed God, no matter the circumstances. You know, I don't know that we're being tested to our limits right now. Some may think that because of the different circumstances that you're personally experiencing. We are being tested. We're challenged to think differently, to act differently, to create new normals in our life. But imagine this request, that God would come to this man and say, I want you to give up your precious son, the one that Abraham knew would be the fulfillment of the promise. And it says there, by faith, Abraham did it. You know, I've been trying to wrap my mind around this concept, and really I keep coming to the conclusion that I don't know that I really understand living by faith. Yes, we say we do. But in the last 3 weeks, life has gotten hard, and sometimes what comes out isn't faith. It's doubt, fear, questioning. God, are you aware? Questions that we should not be asking. And then we go to the scripture and we look at these kinds of situations where God said, okay, take your son and give him up. And he did it. You know, for us, I think we should probably evaluate our hearts during these days. Some of us have known Christ for a very long time. And we have said for years and years and years, I will follow the Lord, I will trust the Lord, I will do what He asks. And now, in a very mild form, and I'm not trying to minimize what's going on, but I am comparing it to this request. Now we're being asked to adjust our lifestyles and really submit to something that is bigger than ourselves. And I know there's all kinds of theories out there about how it started and what's going on behind the scenes and all that. And only God knows truth. But we're being asked to change, and some of us are having a real hard time with that. And it's really a test of our faith that we would actually follow through and do the next right thing. You keep getting up in the morning. You keep reading your Bible. You keep seeking the Lord. You keep doing right. We don't live in fear. And so Abraham is a tremendous reminder to us during these days of what this great faith looks like. If you would go to Genesis 22 with me, I think just kind of reading through this story a bit will help us understand this request and how Abraham reacted to it. But in verse 20, in Genesis 22, in verse 1, it says, Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So Abraham was willing to take the direct instruction of God and follow through with it at every point. Even though the test was hard and it was difficult, he went and he obeyed. He was willing to go through the whole process. Now you think about this morning that he was going to go from his place with his son and walk through this path of obedience. And it says there, he got up early. Now of all days where someone would want to stay in bed, imagine getting up early to obey the Lord in this way. There was a promptness, an eagerness, a willingness to say, God, I believe you and I will obey and I'm going to get the things together I need to and I'm going to take Isaac and we are going to go. And he showed great faith through this whole process because verse 5 says, Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham believed the whole time that he would return with his son. That's how strong his faith is. And some would say, well, Abraham probably had in his thought that God was going to provide a ram. I don't necessarily think that that's an accurate understanding of this text, because in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us that Abraham believed that God had the power to raise Isaac. So Abraham actually was thinking, according to the scripture, that he was going to walk this path of obedience. He was actually going to take the life of his son, and God in his power was going to do something so amazing that God was going to bring him back to life, and they were going to walk back together after this time of amazing worship, and God was going to do it. Now that takes faith. That takes faith well beyond what we kind of think about in our own lives. What if over the next 7 days we thought every time we heard something new on the news, some new number that has come out, or some new number that has gone down in the stock market, or some new experience that we are going through because of all of this and the ramifications and the ripple effects, what if every time we countered that news with a strong faith and a thought that God, you are going to see us through? No matter what happens, no matter what you ask me to do, it may be where the whole economy falls apart. God, I will follow you. Take everything away. No safety nets. Abraham was not thinking about a safety net when he said he would follow and obey. He simply was willing to follow at whatever cost. And the scripture says in verse 9, they went to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there, and he arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Abraham was going to obey God at every single point. And we don't know how old Isaac was at this time. We know that the scripture tells us in verse 5 that he must have been strong enough to carry all the wood, because Abraham put the wood on Isaac to carry it up to the place where they would build the altar. So he had to have been somewhere between 13 or maybe 14 at the very least, and some would suggest that he was in his 30s. We don't know how old Isaac was at this point. And so, you know, I'm trying to think through this story as to, well, did Isaac just submit and let his father tie him up and put him there? That's one option. He believed as well. He had the same faith that his father did. Or the other option would be that Abraham actually had to wrestle him as perhaps a grown boy, a grown man, and put him up there. We don't know how it all went down. But we do know that Abraham obeyed at every single point. His faith was strong. God touched him where it hurt. God tested him where it was most precious. And that's really how God tests us. He doesn't necessarily test us in the areas where we don't care about. He finds the areas in our hearts and our lives that really connect to our hearts. And you say, well, maybe Abraham didn't have any emotions. That can't be true, because the way he interacted with Hagar and the other areas with Lot and in the previous examples and years of his life. So we know that he was made up of the same stuff we are. And imagine the emotions that he was feeling during this whole ordeal and this request and in this process of obedience. Imagine, but his emotions were submissive to the will of God. So his will, his resolve to follow God and trust God trumped how he felt. And I realize that many of us are in a place where we feel something every day. At least I did this week. One day I would get up and I would think this, and then another day I'd get up and I would say, oh, this is going to happen, and I'd be all over the place emotionally. And that's what happens in times of testing. Our emotions do go up and down, but one thing that we must do is bring our emotions in submission to our will, and then really it's the will of God, what God has asked us to do. And that's where we find Abraham. No matter what, he took that knife and he went to slay his son. I can't imagine. But he obeyed. And in that moment, because, as the text tells us, because he feared God, God stepped in and provided a sacrifice. And Abraham sacrificed to the Lord, and it says that they got down and they went back. Just another episode in the life of a follower of God. Passing the test of obedience. You know, you may be experiencing something completely apart from what's happening in the culture of our day with this virus and things like that. Maybe it's a whole nother test. I don't know what it is for you personally. But I do know that biblical faith does experience testing. We see it all over the scripture. And if you're a follower of Christ today, you're experiencing testing. And the way that you're responding, the way that we respond really shows how strong our faith is. And once again, our theme for the year, this is a time for courage. This is a time to show the world that we do have an anchor, and our anchor is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. And we will go through and experience whatever we need to. We will continue to do the next right thing. And when we do, we will show that we actually love our God. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So obedience to our Savior really connects with our love for him, even when it's hard and the circumstances are less than ideal. How is your faith in March of 2020? You're being tested. How are you responding? We have an example, one of many, of what it looks like to respond in a God-honoring way when it hits us close, when it touches those who are closest to us, and really when it costs us everything. We keep looking to our God. We keep obeying our God. As this real story of real people help us, it actually points us to a situation and a story that happened many years after that, where God the Father sent his own son, his only begotten son. And just like Isaac carried the wood up to the altar, Jesus carried a cross of wood up to the place where he would voluntarily get on the cross and absorb the wrath of his Father, take upon himself the sins of the world. In complete obedience, Jesus obeyed at every single step, from birth all the way till his death. And his obedience and his sacrifice actually provides for us true hope. It provides for us the hope that we can be forgiven, that our sins can be wiped away as far as the east is from the west, that we heard in Psalm 103. In Christ's sacrifice, in this picture of Abraham and Isaac, it points to what would happen with our wonderful Savior, our Messiah, that he would take upon him. And God the Father, as it says in Isaiah 53, that God would be pleased to crush him to accomplish his glorious plan. Folks, what we're experiencing, it's difficult and hard, and I want to be sensitive. I don't want to be flippant about it. But I want us to think about truth during these days. That really, in the life of faith, things could get a lot worse for us. And you may personally experience things far greater in your lifetime than this, and this will be a distant memory. But our call as followers of Jesus is to be willing to obey no matter what happens, no matter if it costs us everything. So how are you responding? My encouragement to you, my encouragement, you know, to myself is that we have to keep trusting our God. He is in full control. He has a glorious plan that he was accomplishing before this all came out, and he's accomplishing it each and every day, and he will ultimately accomplish, and it will be a glorious ending. We know the ending, folks. And so when he brings tests to us, and he is, we keep obeying. We do the next right thing. We follow those who have gone before us. We follow our Savior, and we obey. We're a people of faith that obey. Would you pray with me as we conclude? Father God, you know who is watching today. You know the burdens they carry. You know the ways that you are testing them. God, we're in a season of time where we can show great faith in who you are and what you're accomplishing. God, we thank you for your truth. And I pray that perhaps maybe this is the only truth that some who have been listening all week, they haven't even opened their Bibles, but they're listening at this moment. And I pray that the truth of your word would remind people to keep following after you. God, I pray that you would increase our faith during this time of testing and increase our desire to obey you and help us to show our love for you by doing the next right thing each and every day. God, we're so thankful that you're our anchor and you're an anchor that holds. It is safe and secure. And so help us at Calvary Baptist Church to be a people who believe your truth. And we submit our emotions to it. And we think correctly. And as we think correctly, you bring clarity to life. Truth always clarifies. So, Father, thank you for our time and the word this morning. Help us to rely upon your grace as we go from this place. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.